I just knew that fatherhood was going to be a part of my journey in my life. I come from a very tight-knit family. My father has always been a part of my life, whether it's basketball, making sure we're going to church and making sure I'm doing my chores around the house and things of that nature. So it was pretty much in my DNA.
Welcome to The Art of Fatherhood, a podcast that takes you on the journey of fatherhood. Now here's your host, Art Eddy.
This week's Art of Fatherhood podcast is being brought to you by RPACT. RPACT is the one app every parent needs to keep their children safe when surfing the internet, playing online games, or engaging with social media. RPACT's goal is to assist parents in teaching children healthy digital habits and responsible, proper use of their device. RPACT is easy to use, easy to set up, and great for parents and families who are concerned with their child's use of technology. Whether you're introducing a device to your child for the very first time or simply have a teenager that spends way too much time on social media and other device apps, RPACT is the perfect parental control app solution for your family to encourage a healthy balance between technology and face-to-face social interaction. From scheduling device-free time for the family, schoolwork, or disconnecting, to screen time allowance, specific app blocking, website filtering, family location, screenshots of your child's device, RPACT is the most comprehensive parental control app and family locator tool that is perfect for families of any size. For more information and to download the RPACT app, go to their website at rpact.com or find RPACT in your mobile device app store.
What's going on, everybody? Art Eddy here for another edition of the Art of Fatherhood podcast. I'm very happy to be joined by Antoine Jamison. Thanks for taking the time to chat with me, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Looking forward to chatting with you about basketball, broadcasting, a whole bunch of stuff, but love bringing good guys like yourself on and talk about their fatherhood journey. So when you found out you were going to be a dad, sir, what was going through your mind?
It was mixed emotions because at that time I was 24 years old, just getting started in the league. I just knew that fatherhood was going to be a part of my journey in my life. I come from a very tight-knit family. My father has always been a part of my life, whether it's basketball, making sure we're going to church and making sure I'm doing my chores around the house and things of that nature. So it was pretty much in my DNA. The thing that I love about my journey to being a father, I'm a father of five. So my oldest is 22, who just graduated Carolina this weekend.
Oh, congrats.
My youngest is five. So,
you got the wide range, sir.
Oh man, it's never a dull moment. So, it's 22, 16, 15, 12, and 5. But the thing I love about it is that, of course, I made mistakes over my time as far as being a father, as far as communicating and just understanding this generation and things of that nature. But I've evolved, and the relationship I have with my kids now is unbelievable. A lot of my kids have their friends reach out to talk to me, their cousins to get advice. And I love having uncomfortable conversations with my kids because I feel that a lot of kids are not able to have those conversations with their parents. And then they go out and try to learn them on their own, or they seek it from the wrong individuals. So I do everything possible to make sure that my kids can come to me about any and everything and not feel like I'm gonna judge them or be uncomfortable at all. But also it's still boundaries that we have. You know, I'm still your father and it's still things I expect out of you. But I would just remember the first time I heard I was gonna be a father, I was just kind of like, you know, okay, you know, what's the next steps? I was still playing and trying to, you know, navigate and figure out, you know, my NBA career. I was just getting started, but all of a sudden now I'm a father and I have this responsibility. And as you know, once you become a father, all the other stuff doesn't really matter. I mean, you have, for myself, I have five, the most important responsibilities in life is to make sure that I guide them, that I'm there for them, and make sure that I provide for them. And I've been fortunate enough to do that. But I tell people all the time, it's not scoring 51 back-to-backs. It's not playing 16 years in the NBA or my jersey being retired at the University of North Carolina. It's being a father to, you know, Alexis, Catherine, AJ, Rucker, and Ava. So that's probably been my biggest accomplishment so far. And so far, you know, from what I've hearing, I've been doing a great job at it. And a lot of people kind of respect the way I, you know, you know, my kids have people fool. We go on trips and they're just like, oh my God, your kids are just so unbelievable. But they are great kids. And every day I give thanks for, you know, allowing the Lord to, for me to be their father and for me to, you know, make mistakes and still learn and listen to them and knowing that they have a voice and just doing everything possible just to be that father figure and just to make sure that, you know, they have everything that they want out of life.
Well said, sir. I love everything you're saying right there. And I mean, this is, I'm telling a guy who played at one of the most prestigious colleges at UNC and of course the NBA, where, you know, people are going to criticize you and all this other stuff. You know, your hardest critics are your kids, because they'll let you know, man. They'll call you out. But I think the biggest thing is that you're not only talking the talk, but you're walking the walk. What you said, where your kids' friends or cousins or whatever the case may be might come to talk to you, right? Yep. Antoine, that's a huge sign. And I think communication, I always bang that notion on my podcast and just in my writings at my site, where communication is key. No matter where, you know, what type of relationship it is, whether it's your spouse or your kids or mm-hmm. business friend, you know, or whatever the case may be, communication is key. And that can't falter with kids. And the fact that other kids are coming to you because you know that it's a safe space, they'll talk to you, they still, you know, especially your kids, they still got to respect you as a dad. I love that. So communication, I think, is one value. Talk about some of the other core values. I mean, you're mentioning, you know, you're a great father figure, obviously, in him. He, you know, doing the chores, doing all that stuff, going to church. What are some of the values that maybe you learned from your parents that you're passing down, or certain things that you started with your kids? Like, talk about some of those values.
Oh, not only just from my parents. I can recall, you know, from Coach Smith and the stuff I learned at the University of North Carolina. You know, we have this thing before every practice, just the thought of the day. It's the offensive thought, the defensive thought, and just the overall thoughts of the day. And I mean, it's just, you know, little things that I learned from Coach Smith, the importance of family. I can remember as a freshman, he would bring me to his office. I'm like, you know, what did I do wrong? And he said, you know, did you call your mom and dad this week? And I'm like, no, I'm in college. You know, I didn't know that was a stepping point about being in college, but like just really instilling in me at an early age that parents and your family is the most important thing. I can recall, like, after I left the University of North Carolina, I'm on the West Coast, and my mom and dad, you know, calling them, they said, Coach Smith, reach out just to check and see how we was doing. So for me, just knowing that the little things, you know, just how's your day going? You know, like just away from me and the boys just watching basketball, like, you know, talk to me what happened, you know, at school. Just, you know, sitting back and just listening has been one thing. And also vulnerability. I think sometimes, you know, especially now when you have teenagers and preteens, and the one thing I've learned recently is that the things that these kids are going through now is totally different than what you and I might have been through. This socially acceptance thing is like unheard of. You know, this year, my daughter, and this really made me reflect, and at one particular time within a week, they had three kids just commit suicide. And two of them, if I'm not mistaken, were freshmen. I'm just like, this is supposed to be the happiest time of your life. And me and my oldest never had that conversation. Like, have you ever felt depressed or felt like, you know, taking your life? And at one particular time, she was like, well, you know, I never really thought about acting on it, but the thought did kind of cross my mind. And for me to not have seen that or even thought that she would go through something like that, and it took, you know, for me to hear this happen at the university, to ask that question, it really put life in perspective for me, because it's like, you know what, just because you were successful and you can provide private school, you can provide any and everything that they want, you give them love, you give them time and attention, sometimes that's just not enough. And I think as parents, as we are just going through our everyday lives, we come home, whether it's from a 9-to-5 or whatever the situation is, and we just feel like, okay, you know, everything is all fine and dandy, but sometimes you really have to go out of your comfort zone to just ask questions. And, you know, my 15-year-old son now, he's kind of going through some things, and I never thought about it like that, because he's great at basketball, loves basketball. And right now he was a freshman. He played on the varsity team. Wow. And he didn't play as much. And I think he kind of kind of got down on himself. And as a former player, we hear these stories about Michael Jordan being cut. And as a, you know, dad who played all levels, I thought it was good because he's never kind of went through roadblocks before. Everything has kind of came easy to him. He's always been to be able to like fit right in. And it was the first sign of adversity that he felt. And I was just like, you know what? This is going to be a great life teaching lessons for him. But I mean, it was hard. You know, and it was hard because not because he didn't play that much, but the expectations he had as being Antoine Jameson's son. And I never thought about that until we actually talked to somebody. So it's just like the one thing I would say, like, if you think you have all these things down packed as far as being a parent, being a father, there's always going to be some things that come up. And never be afraid to be vulnerable. Never be afraid to learn. Never be afraid to just go outside the box. And that was something like when my parents, you know, was coming up and raising my siblings and I, you know, they worked a 9-to-5. They came home. I never seen them complain. So the work ethic, I got that from them. My kids got that from me as well. But, you know, you have to be vulnerable. You have to, like, understand that this is a totally different time and age that these kids are going through. And that's just something I just learned within the last year or so. You know, I thought I had everything down packed. I'm able to, you know, the kids are happy. We go on family trips. We have these difficult conversations when we're all together. But things come up. And sometimes you just have to, you know, readjust, take a step back, actually listen. And even though you might not understand, like, how are you feeling this way? How are you feeling like your life doesn't matter? How are you feeling like no one cares when I'm giving you the tools, I'm giving you all the time and the attention, but sometimes you just have to understand where they're coming from. And that's the one thing I really had to reassess this year is that, you know, even though I didn't go through it or I can't understand this social acceptance, they're on this social media platform, whether it's TikTok, Instagram, and this girl looks this way or this boy that I play with is getting offers and I'm not. I mean, that's something that I didn't have to experience, and that's something I got to, you know, learn myself as a father. How can I, you know, be able to have this conversation with my kids and they understand that, okay, I hear you. I get what you're saying. Allow me to learn from you how you feel this way and just take it from there. So these last 2 years have, you know, really, like, not only for myself with the pandemic and things of that nature, but just like I said, being a father, I had to, like, really sit back and, like, even though you think you've given so much and you're doing the right things, you know, we're a Christian-based family, you know, we give thanks. But, you know, this is a different time that I'm still trying to adjust to and figure out how to navigate and help out my kids go through their journey as well.
Well said, man. And you, I mean, everything you're saying right there, I totally agree. And we always tell our kids, never stop learning, or, you know, you got to keep on pushing through. You're proof right there saying, like, as a dad, like, there's certain things I got to learn about. Mm-hmm. Same thing here. Like, I have two daughters, and one's going to be in high school next year. One's going to be in seventh grade. And, like, there are so many different, like, obstacles and landmines. I mean, the stuff that we were dealing with, I'm 43. And I'm like, there's certain things that, like, I dealt with that my parents didn't have to deal with and so on and so on. But, like, there's certain things I'm like, why are you even caring about this? I don't know about you, Antoine, but, like, I never heard the term FOMO, and that's even like 10 years or probably like 5 years old now, right?
Yeah.
But that's real. I mean, just especially like with maybe the expectations that your son had, you know, who's playing, he's a freshman playing in varsity. To me, I'm like, that's amazing. Like, you're a freshman playing in varsity, but like his work ethic and probably sees, you know, your success. He's like, I should probably be like playing all the time and all that.
Yeah.
So there's just those little things, and that's where the communication comes in. You can talk to them, but, man, I love that. And I think you've answered this question already in some of your answers already, but, like, I feel like you're definitely introspective as it comes to a dad. You're looking at all facets. Just like in basketball, you got to have that great peripheral vision, like, you know, making sure you can see all the things that are going on. You're starting to learn that, like you said, in these past 2 years. I mean, I'd say introspection is one of them, but what is something else that your kids have taught you either about yourself or about life?
To really enjoy the moment. Mm. You know, that's one thing. Kids, like you said earlier, kids they're going to be as honest as possible. And I think sometimes for me, playing 16 years, I can recall, I know you said you was going to ask this question about, you know, what I'm doing now, but for me, when I finally decided to just not play basketball anymore, that was going to be the time for me to just sit back, relax, and just, you know, think about all the things I accomplished, not knowing what my next, you know, step was going to be, next career path, what kind of transition was going to be. And all of a sudden, I get a call from a producer in LA about coming on and doing some commentary for the Los Angeles Lakers. And at a particular time, you know, I said, you know what, I'm not the type to just sit at home and not do anything. So I tried that. And they called me in one day. I went to LA, had a suit on, and put some in my ear, and just no practice or anything like that. I just kind of learned on the fly. And I did that for 2 years. And, you know, just because of my relationships with people, I knew one of the owners from the Lakers. They were looking for former players who wanted to get into scouting. I jumped into that. And I like being behind the scenes. I like being the one to put the pieces to the puzzle together for a franchise. And then just by going out scouting, other people, GMs, you know, president of basketball operations, like, I didn't know you wanted to do this, you know. And like, you know, you really want to do this. I mean, you the first one at the game, the last one to leave. And, you know, and once they saw how serious I was, that's when, you know, the Washington Wizard opportunity presented itself. And to answer your question, I've just been going nonstop since my retirement, if you want to say I retired. But the kids lately have taught me to, Dad, just take some time for yourself and just enjoy it. And like I said, it ranges from 22 to 5, and it's never a dull moment in our household. And the one thing they've been trying to get me to do, which I can't, I don't see myself ever doing, these TikTok dances and things like that. But as a family, man, we really enjoy each other's company. We do a family trip every year.
Nice.
And I'm big on being big supporters for my kids, whether it's graduation or my daughter, she became a Delta Sigma Theta this year, or my son's playing basketball, AAU, or my little one just being who she is. But that time to really just not always be on the hustle and traveling, and I'm fortunate enough, I can kind of create my own schedule. So, you know, we always take time at least once a month, whether it's breaking bread or just a movie or something. But they've really taught me to just really, you know, you're supposed to be retired and you're still doing more work now than you're doing when you played. Just sit back, relax. And I have some funny individuals, I tell you that. So it's never a dull moment. But and I appreciate that because I give them so much so-called wisdom. I try to be there for them. And my 16-year-old daughter, she's the ringleader, man. You know, she like, I need your credit card. I'm like, what do you need my credit card for? We just about to go and just, I mean, it's just like little things like that, that I get it. And I could have never told my mom and dad, like, oh, you ain't not going in today. Let's, I'm like, boy, you don't sit your butt down. Let me just relax. I've been working 9 to 5 all week. But it taught me just to slow down and just really enjoy the moment. And that's something that I appreciate, you know, the mother of the kids. And they've done a great job, but when I sit back and relax, I can honestly say I've done everything possible to be there for them. And I know it's positive because of the conversations that we have, not being afraid to come to me about anything. You know, for my son to come and say that, you know, I'm not happy right now. Something's not right. Most kids wait till it's too late. I appreciate you being vulnerable enough, and I appreciate you being honest to come to us and tell us that's how you feel, because you hear so many scenarios with parents that I didn't know my kid was going through this, or I didn't know my kid felt this way.
Yeah.
So just to be in the moment, to enjoy it. They get on me all the time about how old I am. And they said, you used to have a six pack, but it's kind of a six pack with a little kid down there. So it's just, it's all funny glory. But man, my kids they're the joy of my life. Every day I give thanks for the happiness that they bring into not only myself, but my parents and the household. And You know, sometimes I look in the mirror and I start to see some more gray hairs come in, but you know, I know it's because of them, but it's definitely worth it. But man, what I say, I really enjoy just being a father. And like I said, sometimes, you know, you come home like, man, it's been a long day. Like, you know, yesterday was one of those days where AAU, we got on at like 9 o'clock, I missed half the game. But I mean, just see those moments that when I'm older, or my 12-year-old is older, I remember he used to take me to AAU practice. That's the same with me and my dad.
Yeah.
The talks that we have is, oh, you know, I took your dad. You know, we used to go this, we used to do that. And the guys on the basketball team, every time, you know, we keep in contact, they ask about my dad all the time. So through sports, I've always been able to have that relationship with the boys. But with the girls, it's just taking the time to go shopping. You know, let's do this and just ask about what they're going through, about the boys, as you would know. But it's been fun. It's been a great journey. And I know I'm just really scratching the surface now. By the time my 5-year-old gets to the point where she's graduating college, she's just going to be pushing me in a wheelchair, and I'm just going to make her life miserable as like she's making mine. But I mean, I've actually enjoyed every aspect of it, all the highs and the lows, and just, man, it just gives me joy to know that I'm someone's father.
Love it, man. One more question before we get into like basketball and some other things, but I just gotta say, like you made a joke like, oh, you know, I retire, but I'm still working. For the life of me, I think athletes, you know, people will comment on their salaries. People will comment like, oh, are they gonna retire and what are they gonna do and all stuff. It's just funny where I. You don't have like a CEO of a bank or a superintendent school. Like you don't have the salaries. You don't have like, oh, they're going to retire. What are they going to do next? Right. It's always, I feel like athletes, you know this man. And it's just like, just give them a break. Like let them do whatever they want to do. Right. I just, they always like, you know, media or whatever the case may be, want outlets, like obviously trying to get the clicks or whatever, but we're like, oh, they have a hot take. But like, I just think it's so funny how, and like we know everything about like the intimate details of an athlete, right? But it's like we don't know about your neighbors, right? It's almost like how much you making? What's your salary worth, right? And it's like, oh, when are you going to plan to retire? What are you going to do next? It's like no one's asking anybody else except athletes that, man.
Well, you know, it's our profession is totally different. And our profession, you retire when you're like 37, 38 years old. And most people are just really starting their careers off.
Yeah.
And the amount of money that you accumulate, I mean, it's you know, it's unheard of. So I understand it. To me, it's part of the territory.
Yeah.
I mean, you are on TV just about every night of the week. People know your face. People are now, you know, betting wages on how many points, rebounds you're going to have or whatever the situation is. So they see you more than they see the doctor who is saving lives, who faces on a mask, or the teacher who's teaching your kids how to, you know, really achieve their goal later on in life. And that's just how society is. So for me, I learned that at an early stage that this is part of who I am. I never understood athletes who try to hide away, you know, when the basketball, you're playing basketball and the lights are on, you love it. But after, you know, sometimes you need your privacy, you want to do a dinner or whatever. But I mean, it's part of the territory, it's part of what we signed up for. And for me, I think also as a teaching tool to my kids is that no matter what you accomplish or no matter how much success you have achieved, there's always still room for improvement or you can still continue to go forward. You know, my daughter just graduated and now she wants to, you know, go to grad school. And I'm just like, I will always support that because, you know, you graduate undergrad and things like that, if you feel like you can accomplish more, I will always support that. That's a great tool to teach the kids. Like, I don't have to work a day in my life, but I love the game of basketball. And, you know, I can put myself in a situation where I can be the GM of a team and I can hire guys who I know is going to work hard, who might not get the opportunity and so forth. But, I mean, I've been blessed. I've been able to impact so many people's lives in a positive way. And this man has blessed me to get paid to play a game that I love, and now I'm getting paid to watch something that I love. So you think I would ever complain about life ever? No, and I don't think my kids will complain about it either. But I'm with you, man. Athletes, I mean, sometimes it's a gift, but also it can be a curse. But to me, it's just part of what we signed up for. And you kind of make it out of what you, you know, you can make it out of. And I would never, you know, make it like, oh man, like, why me? Or I'm always, I'm in the grocery store, people just looking at me like, you tall, you used to play. And I'm like, I mean, it's part of what we signed up for. I mean, you don't see too many 7-footers walking around here and in the grocery store buying cheese and things like that. And they're like, you got to play basketball. And I'm like, no, I play soccer. They're like, what? So I, you know, you got to have fun with it. But man, it's always been part of the territory. And
I actually play badminton. Love it. I mean, I think people in, through our conversation can get a lot of pieces of advice about fatherhood, but is there a dad hack or like a piece of advice you'd like to offer to new dads? Listen to this.
Patience, man. Like, it's going to be times, like you said, as you know, you have two daughters. I have five kids. I learned a long time ago, you will have to have patience. And the thing that kind of surprised me, of course, you have to go through the toddler years, the baby, the elementary. I thought once we got to middle school and high school, it would get easy. It's that is like, and to have daughters, man, it was times I woke up, I'm like, when it's over from the south to the east, it's gonna be one of them days that I was terrified of my daughters at one particular time, man. It was just like, what is going on right now? I do not recognize you, I don't know who you are. And now I'm starting to see that, like, with the boys, they kind of like, you know what, they get in their own little space. You know, when they was younger, they used to put holes in just about every wall, bouncing off the walls. And now it's just like, they kind of like, okay, I don't care what's going on. But the girls, it was challenging there for a moment. And patience to me has been the one thing, because as an athlete, I've always been, it's about discipline. It's about scheduling. Things have to happen a certain way. You hear it now, like, you know, the aunties and the uncles, like, oh, Antoine said we got to be here at 7. You know, he'll leave you. Like, I've always been punctual and things like that. But, you know, being a first-time dad, the patience, you have to deal with mama. You know, she go through some things of that nature. But it taught me how to kind of slow down a little bit. And I think by having kids at an early age, you know, you always want to hustle and bustle, always on the go, and kind of it's all about me. Like I said, I learned that from an early stage in life that this is my responsibility. And I've always been like, I don't want to ever be in a situation where someone else is raising my kids. When I say that, you know, my kid is seeking advice from someone else because they can't come to me.
Yeah.
So, like I said, it took a lot of years of learning and, you know, just frustration. But if you're a first-time father, man, the patient, just being patient, understanding, you know, sometimes, especially now, I still kind of try to wrap my finger around, like, how are you feeling this way? Like, it just sometimes it's just, and then sometimes you just have to put yourself in their shoes. Like, what if you were, you know, someone's son that played in the NBA, and I tell my kids, that's no pressure.
Yeah.
I just want you to enjoy life, have fun. I'm honest. I said, I got two D1 athletes. You know, are you good enough to make it to the NBA? I do not know. You're not going to know that until as you get older, but sometimes you really have to put yourself in their shoes and just like, you know what? What if that was me and I had to go through what, you know, my daughter's going through or my son is going through? Like, how would I have handled that situation? And I'm not naive. When I was younger, you always want to be accepted. You always want to like be the cool kid in a situation. I learned a long time ago too, being the cool dad is not always fun. You know, like, oh, you know, we're going to have everybody at the house. You know, your dad's cool. And these kids now, they'll take advantage of that, but hey, oh, we got suckers. So I like, you know what, that cool dad stuff, you can come to me and talk, but we're not having no parties over here. We're not doing none of that stuff over here. But that's you know, comes with, you know, learning and things of that nature. But it's been fun. It's been great to see my kids and the friendships that they develop, the disappointments as well. And just by experiencing, man, I've experienced so much. And I think basketball has made it somewhat easier for me to dealing with frustrations of coaches or not winning and always dealing with disappointments and knowing what it's like to be with a great team and depending on others and things of that nature, some of the same things goes into being a father and raising kids as well.
Appreciate that, man. This was such a great part of the conversation where we talk about fatherhood, and I appreciate your honesty, your openness, yep. and a lot of things that, you know, you're making me want to be a better dad, just everything you're saying too. So I appreciate that. You know, we mentioned about what Coach Dean Smith instilled in you, not only, you know, coached you, but like, did you talk to your parents yet? And all these other things. And I think you sometimes wonder, like, what makes a great college? Yeah, you know, recruiting and scouting and all other stuff, but having that culture there and having, like you said, it felt like a family. So UNC, one of the most prestigious college basketball programs, talk about the time there and what you took away from, you know, your playing days there.
If it wasn't for the University of North Carolina and Coach Smith, I truly don't believe the things I've accomplished in life and where I'm at right now would have been possible. I remember the recruiting pitch. It wasn't a pitch. It actually, you know, Coach Smith came in and told my parents, like, I can't tell you if he's going to make it to the NBA or if he's going to make millions of dollars. If he's going to get drafted, the one thing I can tell you is that if your son comes to the university, he's going to get education first and foremost. He's going to become a better man after he leaves his university than what he did when he came into this university. And the thing that, and it's funny now, like we was down in New Orleans for the Final Four. I was there with my kids and see Jerry Stackhouse and so many greats, Derrick Phelps, Mactar, Shamon. And to see some of the guys that Coach Williams coached, Tyler Hansborough, Marcus Gilliard, all of that is from one individual. Coach Williams learned so much from Coach Smith. He became a coach on Coach Smith's coaching staff. And the University of North Carolina, it's such a blessing to see, because we had a lot of people had so many questions about Hubert Davis. How would he fare? I mean, he played for Coach Smith and he coached under Coach Williams. So he's pretty, I mean, some of the same things that we learned. And I hear him talk about, you know, once a week, I have guys come into my office. We don't talk about basketball. We just talk about life. I get to know these individuals. I get to know these men. That's Coach Smith. And I remember, you know, just coming to his office and come in and talk to me. And it's just like, how things are going. I'm like, Coach, you know, not basketball, just how things are going with your family, how things are going with life, any girlfriends. I mean, like stuff like that. I'm like, Coach Smith has asked me about if I got a girlfriend or anything like that. But, you know, the friendships that I gained at the university, all my friends except for one, I knew before I went to the University of North Carolina. My teammates, Mactar, Shamon, Vince, Ademola, you know, Brendan Haywood, he stays down the road. And I live this, we went to the University of North Carolina together and things of that nature. So, I mean, my life, every time I make that 2-hour drive from Charlotte, man, it's just like, it just brings back all of those memories. Now I have a daughter that graduated from Carolina, and I sit back and look at her friends and the friendships that she developed at her times at Carolina. Like, she has her best friends that I know they're going to be friends for the rest of their lives. And the basketball aspect was just, you know, second to none. It just flowed with me as a person. Just me as my core values, you know, me becoming a young man when I left the university. You can ask anybody. I mean, I'm a North Carolina. I mean, I bleed Carolina blue to the day I die. And it's scary now because I got, you know, my boys is like, they were worse than me. I mean, they get into a fight. We talk about Duke Carolina. It's just like, hey, it's not that serious. I'm cool with Elton and some of these guys that went to Duke. So, hey. But man, it's unbelievable that 20 some years ago, a university really molded this young man to the person that he is today, the father that he is today. The career that he had was all because of that. Now, don't get me wrong, my mom and dad, first and foremost, and God, of course, but things happen for a reason. And God blessed me with the perfect parents. Made a difficult decision to leave Shreveport, Louisiana, and move their son to their kids to Charlotte, North Carolina. And somehow we got blessed with one of the best coach to ever coach the game of basketball. And not just Coach, but also I tell people all the time, he was like my white father. I mean, Coach Smith taught me so much. Because you think about this, you've been under your parents' household for 17, 18 years or whatever. You make that transition. This is the first time you're not, you know, living underneath your parents' household. Kind of living on your own, but the University of North Carolina and Coach Smith and Coach Guthridge are pretty much responsible for you. So the things that I've learned during that time, not being with my parents or being away from my parents, it helped molded me into what you see today. And the best 3 years of my life, man. I mean, it was great just to, you know, me and Vince and Maktar, me and Maktar talk all the time. He got a son too, so he's older than my 15-year-old. We just talk about just like life. We talk about being a father.
Yeah.
And he said he was sitting there telling his son, like, you know, me and Uncle Antoine, we used to have a game, you know, go rest up 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. We back in the gym. If we lost, I missed those free throws, and we would just live in the gym. And those stories that we have, it's like those memories will be instilled into our minds to the day we die. And that 3 or 4 years that we was together bonded us for life. We have a group chat that we talk about Carolina basketball, and it's like the highs and the lows. But, you know, I'm just blessed that the university I love, they went out and they took a gamble. I would say a gamble. They made the right decision with Hubert. And I have all the respect. I'm glad that, you know, he got the opportunity to coach the university. And you can just see the same things these kids are going through now. They're going to learn so much in Carolina. You see it now, like with Babcock. I think he simplifies like what it is to be a Tar Heel. I mean, he's helped recruit football players to go to North Carolina. I'm like, I never thought about that, but I know for sure, you know, by having Coach Williams and Coach Davis as his coach, you know, that's the reason you're starting to see the young man that you're seeing. But the University of North Carolina, if it wasn't for the University of North Carolina, I have no idea who Antoine Jameson would be. Definitely wouldn't have, you know, the kids that I have, you know, but, you know, it's been a blessing. I get on my knees every night to thank the Lord for things falling to the right place, being able to leave Shreveport, Louisiana, and moving to Charlotte. And I didn't know what ACC basketball was like. I mean, they used to stop school and like turn the TV on. You watch the ACC. I said, what is this? That's like this ACC tournament. I'm like, okay, like, you know.
Back then it's funny you say that because my youngest, because during March Madness this year, they're like, they turn the games on. I'm like, yeah, welcome to the ACC.
Man, basketball. I was like, hey, back then it was ace. I mean, they come up with the big TV with the VCR. Not too many people might know what a VCR is, but I mean. We used to sit down like, oh, we sitting here watching the game for real. I was like, I can get used to this. But, I mean, things happen for a reason, man. I've been just blessed and still being blessed with, you know, my kids and the opportunities, like, you know, being in the front office for the Washington Wizards now.
Yeah.
And getting the opportunity to learn so much still. I think that's the one thing about me is that I don't know it all. And I don't carry myself like I do. I've always room for improvements and growth, and I'm still learning just about being a father and learning how to conduct the NBA franchise and running from, you know, from the top down. So, you know, there's a reason why Coach Smith was my coach. I went into the University of North Carolina. I played 16 years. I got 5 kids, and I'm doing what I'm doing. And, you know, the things that are being put on my plate, I'm able to deal with them because I have a great support group. And, you know, I learned there from my time at the University of North Carolina.
Love it. In that family atmosphere, that's, you know, one of the things you're talking about. You know, you were there with your family for the March Madness and all that. It was cool just to see you. And, you know, I would love to be a fly on a wall with everybody, like, you know, from, you know, the UNC team and, you know, past teams and all that. Just talk like there was a cut shot to you and Coach Roy Williams. You guys were talking. I'm like, I wonder what they're talking about. I'd love to be a fly on the wall. So I love that, man. One more question before I hit you up with a fatherhood quick five. I mean, from everything from, you know, playing in the NBA to now, you know, doing everything with the Wizards and all that. What, I mean, I don't even want to ask you the transition from UNC to the NBA, because it seems like your foundation was already there. Oh, yeah, you probably had some, you know, some hurdles that you had to jump through, but you got in there, obviously, with the success you had in the NBA. But what is it now about the game that you love so much, you know, especially looking to help, the Wizards build, a good team and all that. But, like, just to hear that the passion of basketball is still there, talk about how much fun you're having right now in this role.
I love it. I mean, my job is I'm the director of pro personnel. So that entitles helping out with the draft is what we're doing now. So I'll be in the pre-draft camp in Chicago next week, getting ready for the draft. After that, you have free agency, getting ready to sign new guys. But for me, it's just every day knowing that, and this is the thing I love about the Wizards and Tommy Shepard and Johnny Rogers, and Frank Ross, who are my boss, is that I'm part of it. It's not like they make a decision, we did this, or like, franchise, what you feel about this? And everybody wants to be accepted, and everybody wants their voice to be heard. And to know that how I feel, what I see, they really take it to heart, and they really, use my, he tells me all the time, this guy played and seen it and done it. And, but for me, this is like, other than playing the game, this is probably the fun time for me, because I actually enjoy it. I have to scout so many games, because with my job title, my boss can call me and say, okay, franchise, it's a player that might be, might come up. Like, we need to know what type of practice player he is. Like, what do you think about him? Like, for me, it's great, because I get to kind of set my own schedules. The Hornets is here, so I get to be home as well. A lot of the West Coast teams come here. I'm making sure I'm at the Hornets game. You got Atlanta, that's like an hour flight. You got Miami's a couple of hours. Atlanta's a couple of hours. So I get to see so many basketball games. Like I told you, I'm getting paid to watch, these games. And I'm getting paid to get information on these players and stuff. And I'm like, I can't believe this is still my life. As a player, you enjoy it, because you're like, this was my dream, to be on this basketball court, to play against the Shaqs, the Tim Duncans, the LeBron James. I had a chance to play against Michael when he was with Washington. I was at Golden State. Kobe Bryant, was my teammate. I played against him. Gilbert Arenas was a great teammate. I played against some of the greatest basketball players to ever lace up the shoes. And to, really let that soak in and have success. And now I get to put on a suit, slacks, and go watch these games. And, what you think about this player? And just basketball is something I love, and it's always been a part of my journey and my life. And still to this day, I can remember as a kid picking up a basketball and always visualizing that this is what I'll be doing one day. And to know that the game of basketball, this round basketball, has allowed me to travel the world, China, all of Europe, everywhere you can possibly think of, to impact so many people by doing community services and building playgrounds and so forth, to, the best university. I get to go there every opportunity I can get. And now on the NBA level, I get to meet these young men who had the same dream that I had. And it can be scary sometimes, because your faith is kind of pretty much in their hands as far as who you're drafting, who you trade for, who, and so forth. But to know that I put all my ego aside and just learn and still be vulnerable and, speak my heart and things of that nature, and it's accepted. And every year, the responsibilities keep growing, but it's been a blessing. DC is only an hour flight away. I can hop on the plane, be back the next day and so forth. And the most important thing for me, and that's what this topic is all about, I'm still able to, be home and go see the basketball game. And I was in the stands, because I would just remember, my dad, every game, high school and college, he was there.
Yeah.
And I just remember how important that was for me And now for my, especially for the boys, not for all of them, because whenever they have something, I'm there. And that's what it's all about. But the game of basketball and now with the Wizards, man, I'm still able to do what I love to do, but also the most important thing, implement being a father and making sure I'm still got to, you know, deal with those responsibilities as well.
Love it, man. Thank you very much for the time. And it's funny too. Now, you know, I love the fact that there's NBA players or college players being part of the media, right, and kind of talking about speculation. But you must sometimes chuckle when you hear, like, people who've not played, like, oh, they should go with this person in the draft and all this other stuff. Like, yeah, they have no clue what they're seeing. Like, their eye test is so way off, right?
It's funny. I mean, and the thing about, especially now, like, the analytics is, like, really popular right now and numbers. And it's definitely, you know, this – analytics definitely have to be a part of the game because numbers just don't lie.
Yeah,
I just think it's difficult when you solely rely on the analytics and the numbers. But the one thing I love about the Wizards is that we combine them both. It's the eye test, people who played the game, who've seen it. And this is what the numbers say. And Tommy has done an unbelievable job. It's like, look, these guys played the game. They know about it. They know how the game is going. Also, these numbers are saying that, you know, this guy should be ranked here and there. So we have to come together and we have a great system that binds the two. And so far we've done a great job as far as trading and drafting very talented guys. And, you know, once you draft them, it just depends on, you know, how much they can improve and how much they can adjust to the game as well.
No doubt, man. Thank you so much. This was phenomenal. We're going to finish off with the Fatherhood Quick Five. And I know it's, like you said, a wide range. But favorite family movie, do you guys have one? Age range, I meant. Like, as I know, like, I don't want to watch this, but I want to watch this, so I can only imagine. We have four in our house. So I can only imagine what family movie you guys agree on. But you guys,
I tell you this, and even though she's the youngest, she's the boss of the house. So we've been on the Disney kick. I see Encanto. Oh my God. At least. It has to be 100 sometimes. And we saw Frozen together. We do all the Disney and the animated movies. We really do that together because that's something that we enjoy it. Yeah. I just enjoy a nice tall icy and a nice big bag of popcorn. And you can get me to see anything. And it's also movies that the five-year-old can't see that the other ones want to see. But We've been on this Disney kick. So the Frozen, the Encanto has been one of the movies that we've been enjoying. And I don't know if it's our favorite, but I know that's the one we've been seeing a lot here lately. So yeah. I go with that, Encanto.
Love it. Spoken like a true dad. I love it.
Yeah.
Favorite family song, or is there a band or an artist you couldn't wait to introduce your kids to?
We listen to any and everything.
Okay, nice.
One thing I will say, in the five-year-old, oof. It's her and the 16-year-old. They do the TikTok together, and she's like, "Dad, look, I can twerk. I can twerk." I'm like, "What are you twerking? You're not doing anything." So we're all getting the car, and you know, we're listening to something. It depends on the 5-year-olds in the car. The 5-year-old in the car, you definitely got to be the radio station. But if she's not, you know, they listen to Lil Baby, and my daughter's doing the R&B stuff, and so it's just a range of different genres and so forth. So, but R&B and rap is pretty much what we listen to in the Jameson household.
Describe the perfect family vacation. Where would it be?
Oh man. So far the perfect vacation that we have had, because they mention it all the time. We went to Maui and we had like a 4-bedroom bungalow, and we just, every morning we got up, had breakfast together, buffet style. We did family activities, snorkeling, zip lining. You know, we got on the boat, got burnt, and things of that nature. And most importantly, you know, dinner was on dad every night and shopping. And I also got an opportunity to play some golf. So for me,
nice.
That was a great trip. And I think so far, they said that's been the best trip. This year, right after the draft, we're going to Costa Rica. So that's a place we've never been before. We always try to go somewhere we've never been. So hopefully that can trump the Maui trip, because that was a long trip. But that's been the best trip, because that's all they talk about was the Maui trip that we took.
As a parent, you gotta love when they talk highly of a certain vacation, right? No matter what it is, that's icing on the cake. Love it.
Yeah.
I'm a sneakerhead. Obviously, growing up in the 80s and 90s, big Air Jordan fan. I got married in the 11s. So I gotta ask you, favorite sneakers to play in during your time was what?
The favorite sneakers to play in?
Yeah.
I had a contract with Adidas, and they were all comfortable. So it wasn't like the James Harden or the Derrick Rose. I kind of did like the generic, Adidas shoes. But the pro models were probably my favorites. Okay. They were real comfortable.
Yep.
They had an unbelievable color scheme that they came out with. So the pro models, I don't think the kids know exactly what that is, but that was probably my favorite sneaker that I played in.
Yep.
Now I'm with you. I'm a big Jordan fan. So the ones is like, you can wear that with some slacks, a nice suit. You can some shorts and things like that. So I love my ones and the threes and the fours as well. So those are my favorites.
The UNC colorways in any Jordan is legit, man. It's legit.
Hey, man, that's the only thing I'm jealous of, because when we was there, they just switched over from Converse to Nike. So we had the Nikes, but to see these guys in the locker room, they got the shoes you'll never see on the streets. They licking the bottom of the sole. They like, oh, I'm just like, I said, man, I got to. He got reimbursed us for the time we missed out on these shoes. But I mean, like, it's unbelievable to see, my 12-year-old's a sneakerhead. I mean, he's like anything and everything. And I have a little plug that I can get him for him. But I mean, I'm with him. Like, back in the days, I couldn't, we didn't go without, but we didn't spend $100-something on some shoes. So now I got a nice little stash, but like it's crazy to see. The exclusive shoes that these boys at the university get. So I'm happy for them. Even the football players be out there with the cleats.
Yes! And I'm like, yes! I'm like, I saw the fives, the Air Jordan fives are my favorite. Like, I saw, I'm like, what? A Carolina Blue five? Yeah. You kidding me? Like, I need to get one of those.
But I play golf, so I got the Jordan golf shoes. So he got golf shoes and everything. So yep. I built a golf course, like, yeah, you like these, don't you? So,
oh, that's amazing. And lastly, top three words you hope your kids would use to describe you. What would you want them to be?
The top three words I hope my kids would use to describe me. Funny, loving. What would be the other one? And cool.
Nice.
I tell them all the time, I think I might be the sexiest dad out there. I don't think none of your friends' dad have, six pack. They got style like this. They got a little swag. So I think they can say, Dad does have a little swag here and there. So that would probably be the three words I think they will be able to describe me with.
I think, with everything you've accomplished, you are definitely the cool dad when they walk in the room. People, make sure you go to AntoineJameson.com to check out all the great stuff he's doing, obviously, in different communities and all that. You've been so gracious with your time. I really appreciate your fatherhood journey and just your insight on father. And I hope people listening to this will take, what you said to heart, because I think a lot of the things like you built on communication, trust, and love, and it's great. So I wish you and your family continued success, sir.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me once again.
I want to thank RPAC for being this week's sponsor for the Art of Fatherhood podcast. I've been working with them for years now, and I really appreciate their dedication to not only keep kids safe online, but teach families, not just kids, but families, healthy digital habits so that they can embrace technology but not overuse it. Go to rpac.com for more information and check them out at your mobile device app store. Please rate, subscribe, and review wherever you listen to podcasts. And also go to artoffatherhood.net. You can have a chance to check out some great articles like the weekly Dad's Doing It Right column, the Collector of the Week, and many more. Plus, you have a chance to win some very cool prizes like video games, collectibles, all that good stuff. Go to artoffatherhood.net. And please make sure you rate, subscribe, and review wherever you listen to podcasts, because I'll greatly appreciate it to get the word out on the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts and go to artoffatherhood.net.